So I'll just read the from text 6 to text 28, then we can recite this together. Eta kalhila grantarambe muka banda ebe kahe chaitanya lila krama anubanda. Translation. Thus I have spoken the preface of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now I will describe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in chronological order. Pratameta sutra rupe kariya ganana pachetaha vistari kariba vivarana. First let me give a synopsis of the Lord's pastimes, then I shall describe them in detail. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Navadvipa Avatari Ata Kalisa Vastara Prakata Vihari. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, adventing himself in Navadvip, was visible for 48 years, enjoying his pastimes. Kauda Shata Suta Sake Janmera Pramana Choda Shata Panchanane Haila Antardana. In the year 1407 of the Shaka era, AD 1486, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, and in the year of 1455, AD 1534, he disappeared from this world. Chabi Shavistara Prabhu Kaila Griha Vasa Nirantara Kaila Krishna Kirtana Vilasa. For 24 years, Lord Chaitanya lived in the Grihastha Ashram, household life, always engaging in the pastimes of the Hare Krishna movement. Chabi Savistara Shesha Kariya Sanyasa Ara Kabisha Vastara Kaila Nila Chala Vasa. After 24 years, he accepted the renounced order of life, sannyas, and he resided for 24 years more at Jagannath Puri. Tara Maje Chaya Vistara Gaman Gamana Kabu Dakshina Kabu Goda Kabu Vrindavan. Of the last 24 years, he spent the first 6 continually touring India, sometimes in South India, sometimes in Bengal, and sometimes in Vrindavan. Astadasa vistara kila nila chale Krishna prema namamrite basala sakile. For the remaining 18 years, he continuously stayed in Jagannath Puri, chanting the nectarine Hare Krishna Maha mantra. He inundated everyone there in a flood of love of Krishna. Garahasya Prabhuralila Adililakyana Madhya Ancha Lila Sesha Lila Rajuinama. The pastimes of his household life are known as the Adilila, or the original pastimes. His later pastimes are known as the Madhya Lila and Anchalila, or the middle and final pastimes. Adi Lila Majje Pabura Yateka Charita Sutra Rupe Morari Gupta Karila Grahita. All the pastimes enacted by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Adi Lila were recorded in summary form by Morari Gupta. Prabhura Yesesha Lila Svarupa Damadara Sutra Kari Grantilena Grantera Bitara. His later pastimes, the Majalila and Anchalila, were recorded in the form of notes by his secretary, Sarup Damodar Goswami, and thus kept within a book. Edwe Janera Sutra Dekiya Suniya Varnana Karena Vaishnava Kameya Kariya. By seeing and hearing the notes recorded by these two great personalities, A Vaishnava, a devotee of the Lord, can know these pastimes one after another. Balya Poganda Kishora Yovana Chari Beda Ateva Adi Kandelila Kari Beda. In his original pastimes, there are four divisions: Balya, Poganda, Kishora, and Yovana. Childhood, early boyhood, later boyhood, and youth. Sarva sadguna punam tam vande falguna purninam yasya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Vatirna Krishna Namavi. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the full moon evening in the month of Falgun, an auspicious time full of auspicious symptoms, when Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advented himself with the chanting of the holy name Hare Krishna. Falguna Purnima Sanjaya Prabhura Janmodaya Se Kale Dvaiva Yoge Chandra Grahana Haya. On the full moon evening of the month of Falgun, when the Lord took birth, coincidentally there was also a lunar eclipse. Hari Hari Bale Loka Arashita Hana Janmila Chaitanya Prabhu Nama Janmaya. In jubilation, everyone was chanting the holy name of the Lord, Hari Hari, and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then appeared, at first causing the appearance of the holy name. Janna Balya Poganda Kishora Yova Kale Hari Nama Loyal Yaila Prabhu Nana Chale. At his birth, in his childhood, and in his early and later boyhood, as well as in his youth, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, under different pleas, induced people to chant the holy name of Hari, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Balya Bhava Chale Prabhu Karena Krandana Krishna Hari Nama Suni Rahaye Rodana. In his childhood, when the boy was crying, he would stop immediately upon hearing the holy name Krishna and Hari. Ataiva Hari Hari Balin Niragana Dekite Aisha Yeva Sarva Bandhu Jana. All the friendly ladies who came to see the child would chant the holy names Hari Hari as soon as the child would cry. Gora Hali Bali Tare Hase Sarva Nari Ateva Haila Tanra Nama Gora Hari. When all the ladies saw this fun, they enjoyed laughing and called the Lord Gora Hari. From then on, Gora Hari became another of his names. Balya Vayasa Yavat Hate Kade Dila Poganda Vayasa Yavat Vivahana Kaila. His childhood lasted until the date of Haiti Kandi, the beginning of his education, and his age from the end of his childhood until he married is called Poganda. Vivaha Karile Haila Navina Yovana Savatra Loi Yaila Prabhu Nama Sankirtana. After his marriage, his youth began, and in his youth, he induced everyone to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra anywhere and everywhere. Poganda vayase padena padana shishyagane sarvatra karena Krishna namera vyakyane. During his Poganda age, he became a serious student and also taught disciples. In this way, he used to explain the holy name of Krishna everywhere. So we're on to verse 29 now. Translation. When teaching a course in grammar, Vyakarana, and explaining it with notes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught his disciples about the glories of Lord Krishna. All explanations culminated in Krishna, and his disciples would understand them very easily. Thus his influence was wonderful. purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Jiva Goswami compiled a grammar in two parts named Lagu Hari Namamrita Vyakarana and Brihat Dari Namamrita Vyakarana. If someone studies these two texts in Vyakarana or grammar, he learns the grammatical rules of the Sanskrit language and simultaneously learns how to become a great devotee of Lord Krishna. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Kanda, first chapter, there is a statement about the method by which Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught grammar. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the aphorisms of grammar to be eternal, like the holy name of Krishna. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Vedash Jasavirham Evavidyaha. The purport of all revealed scriptures is understanding of Krishna. Therefore, if a person explains anything that is not Krishna, he simply wastes his time, laboring hard without fulfilling the aim of life. If one simply becomes a teacher or a professor of education but does not understand Krishna, it is to be understood that he is among the lowest of mankind, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 7:15, Naradama Mayaprita Gyan. If one does not know the essence of all revealed scriptures but still becomes a teacher, his teaching is like the disturbing braying of an ass. Om Giganti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svabhadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagaja Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Rishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadha Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, just like Prahlad Maharaj, he also taught his school friends Komaram Acharak, Acharak Pragna, Dhamam Bhagavatam Hiha, Durabram, Manasan Janma Tad Apyadrum Artadam. And he was telling them that, you know, don't waste time. From the very beginning of childhood, we should try to practice devotional service and give up everything else. And if we perform a little bit of sincere devotional service, then that's enough. In other words, if we get the proper consciousness, then Krishna can also fan that spark of pure consciousness and make it into a blazing fire. This is the thing which is stopping us from going forward in devotional service, the consciousness. It's not what we do, how we do it, when we do it. It's not what we wear. It's not how we look. How, you know, in Bhagavad Gita it says, how does a self-realized soul sit? How does he walk? You know, what's his language? And so we can take this in an external way. No, it's not these things. It's the motive, because the motive will be instrumental in all our activities. Is that right? You know, an intelligent person or an experienced person, he can see the motive behind somebody's activities. Is that right? A realized person. Whereas an inexperienced person cannot. And so Krishna is the most experienced. We can't fool Krishna. We may fool so many people, but at the end of the day, Krishna can see right into the heart. Everything, what's going on. Even devotees said when they met Prabhupada, they felt like they'd been undressed in public. You know, Prabhupada looked straight into the heart and they were embarrassed. So this is the fact, actually. Lord Chaitanya is asking, similarly like Prahlad Maharaj, he's asking that, you know, his disciples start to link everything to Krishna. Whatever we're doing, it should be linked to Krishna. And then actually it becomes perfect. And if we don't link everything to Krishna, it's the most imperfect thing we can possibly do. You know, education, it's highly esteemed. Education highly esteemed, is that right? You know, we're so... I mean, England, it's right up there, isn't it? Is it in the tops, or is it the next to the top? It must be, well, because there's America, they have Yale, Harvard, Princeton, a few others. England, we have Oxford, Cambridge, like this. France, they have the Sorbonne. But England's in the top three, I should imagine, is that right? For education. But, you know, what's the use? Is it any good? Look at the... I mentioned this before. I used to look down our street when I was a young boy. That was many years ago. And, you know, there was one car on the street, maybe two. The street was about 300 or 400 yards long. And there was probably... On the whole estate, there may have been one person going to university. That was a state where probably 1,000 people lived. One person. Now, on that estate, maybe 30, 40 are going to university. Maybe not that much, but well up there. But what's the end result? The end result is that they're trained, and most of them don't finish up with their job. And they finish up stuck in shelves in Asda or Tesco, and then they have to try and, you know, get retrained for something else. So this is the real... So it's not really education. Education has become centered around financial gain. You know, I was speaking to one devotee in Chankaran devotee in Wales, Premaras, and he used to go to university. And he said all he went for is to have a good time. So he picked the easiest course and he went and had a good time. And then he got his degree. He was speaking to one young person in the street, another university student, and the university student understood what was happening. What's really happening, probably everybody knows anyway, but I'll just explain it for everybody's benefit. And the universities are... You know, they already, when they set somebody on, they get paid from the government immediately. The money's in the, what they say, the money's in the, in the bag, or it's in the tin. You know, it's like, no, it doesn't matter what they do. And so a lot of these universities, they're not really up to standard, and it doesn't really matter whether he passes or fails. But, you know, and so even if the person gets a degree, no, every, you know, these employers are intelligent. They know the universities to pick people from. So most people at these lower-class universities, they don't get a job anyway. But, you know, it's just like a money-making game. People come from all over the world. So this is why a Brahmin wouldn't receive any wages. He's above that. He can't be bribed. A Brahmin would just accept what he needed in order to keep himself together and his family. So this is real education. We can't really pay for education. Education is actually grace. And Lord Chaitanya was gracing these young students with his understanding of Vyakarana and giving them Krishna as well. So, and even in devotional circles. Well, before we get to devotional circles, let's deal with the material world a little bit. I remember when I was being educated, at that time you didn't go to university, you know, 15 or 16. It was, you know, you had to get a job. We had to get a job at them in those days. And then, you know, up at 5 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning sometimes. And then once a day, if they thought you were suitable, they'd send you to a technical college. This would be an advertisement. The range of courses they provide, fair takes my breath away. This would be an advertisement. And, you know, they were, you were trained in the subtleties of that particular job you were actually doing. In, you know, you could actually go a little bit further. And then eventually, I went for 7 years. And I thought, I'm really going to go for this. I'm going to really get this qualification. And I got the qualification, and I didn't frame it actually. But I got the qualification, and then the place where I were working, they shut it. So this is what happens, you know. We're working like donkeys. You know, we put a mortarboard on at the end of it, don't we? We have a mortarboard, and you know, we have a picture with the family. And, you know, we hang it on the wall, and, you know, everybody comes in the house, they can see this picture. But what's it for? Vanity karma. Has anybody heard that word? It's just vanity, that's all. And then, you know, we work, we have to go like a dog to the employers. Give me a job. And if we're lucky, we get a job, and then, you know, we make... What's the average working hours nowadays? Everybody I speak to, they get employed for 8 hours, is that right? 5 days a week. But they actually work 10 to 15 hours a day. So who wants that education? It's called the, what's the name? That the slaughterhouse. It's the slaughterhouse. It's slaughtering the consciousness and it's slaughtering the physical ability. And another name for it is, it's more, I say something more dangerous than the slaughterhouse. What's more dangerous than the slaughterhouse? The slaughterhouse of the slaughterhouse of the mind, the slaughterhouse of the intelligence. He says it's like, you know, it's presented so nicely, like a jewel on a cobra's head. Now, if a cobra came in here, you know, this place would be vacated in probably 10 seconds flat. Is that right? Would anybody like to stay in here if the cobra came in? But if a cobra with a jewel on its head came, a nice ruby flashing, you know, some people may be a little bit, you know, well, wait a minute, maybe it's worth the risk. You know, that'll stop me from working for the next 10 years. But, you know, it's not a very good bet, is it? You know, we go for that jewel and we're finished. So this is the real effect of this material civilization, this material education. Same thing Bhakti Ras told me when I went up to Newcastle last week. He was saying that he just moved into a new house in Durham, not far from Newcastle, and he was cleaning it out, and it must have been the... You know, Durham's an educational establishment. It's a university city, and it goes back, you know, probably 1,000 years. And he was looking through the cupboard and he saw all these old manuscripts and certificates. And this person had got, you know, nearly every qualification possible. You know, he was blowing the dust off them. So what's going to happen to him now? This person's probably moved on, probably even left his body. So we're just emphasising the point that material education, it brings us absolutely nothing. And even in spiritual education, we have to make sure that it gives us some result. Is that right? You know, we go to the pearly gates, and there's the doorkeepers there say, "Have you got your Bhakti Shastri?" I'm sorry, I didn't manage it. Go back. You can go to the Brahma Jyoti for some time. Then somebody comes with his Bhakti Sarva Bhoma. Oh yes. He can go to... Where does he go? Goloka Vrindavan, is it? So it doesn't work like that either. We have to know how to apply this. So there's... it's just like the Brahmins' wives. The Brahmins were educated. Very educated. And but they'd missed the essence. Still, there was some vanity there. They were doing it for prestige. And when they, you know, all that they were working for is to, you know, align themselves with Krishna consciousness and meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the coward boys came, sent by Krishna, to beg some food from them. And they couldn't understand that. And then the uneducated wives of the Brahmins, Krishna sent them back. He said, don't worry, when you're doing Sankirtan, you can't always be successful. He says, go and see the Brahmins' wives. And immediately, they had the essence. They made all arrangements to cook nice foodstuff for Krishna. So in devotional service, we have to, you know, it's not the externals that matter. And in education, this is what we're talking about today, also, we can learn things in a parrot fashion. You know, we come to Bhagavatam class and we recite the, you know, the pranams, we recite the verse and we go out and we may not really get so much out of it. This is called, there's two kinds of assessment. Krishna assesses us. There's a summative. Has anybody heard of this? You've heard of this. Summative assessment. So that means, would you like to explain it? Yeah. It's explained that summative is like at the end of the week you're going to have an exam and you have it out of 100%, right? At the half term you have an exam out of 100%. Full term an exam, end of the year an exam. And so we can learn things in a parrot fashion way and we can pass the exam. So this has been the system in education for a long time actually. Prior to that it wasn't like that. In the Vedic system, it's not like that. Prabhupada said when we started the Gurukuls, we should get hold of a student's hand and show him how to write the alphabet. So it's hands-on. So this comes to the situation now, is another, this other purpose of our process, sorry, of education is called formative. So formative, it's not necessary to give a person marks out of 100 because we're actually training the person full stop, while he's doing the particular course. We're asking relevant questions to see if he's understood. If he's not understood and he can't apply it, then we're actually going a little bit deeper until the person understands. And when a person actually understands, then it forms a character. When he applies, then it becomes vigyan. Prabhupada says, gyan alone, it cannot help us. But vigyan, realizing the subject matter, is what we really need. This is changing the heart. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita's sort of the theory, the philosophy, isn't it? And we can read it and read it and read it. And many people do, and maybe they don't make so much advancement. But then we come to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam's like showing us, it's more graphic. This is one of the principles of formative education. When we hear a story or we see it graphically placed before us, even on the blackboard or in the mind, then it becomes very much part of the heart. And so Bhagavatam is very much graphic education. Is that right? Would everybody agree? Has anybody got any graphic examples from the Bhagavatam? The forest, oh, that's a very good one, yeah. This is like allegories, allegorical. I was reading one book called Pilgrim's Progress. You know, I heard Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he read this. And I can see why, when you read that book, you can see how Bhaktivinoda Thakur got his phrases and his terminology and the way he spoke. Of course, it's all English. And this goes back to the Civil War. This was just after the English Civil War, Oliver Cromwell and the Roundheads and the Cavaliers. And eventually, and this person who wrote it, they called him John Bunyan. And he was a very staunch Christian. And he was put in jail for 12 years because he wouldn't succumb to the particular Church of England faith that was implemented at that time. I think he was a Methodist or something like that, or a Baptist. And they put him in prison for 12 years. So he got some conviction. And in this book, he's writing about a conviction, understanding the subject matter. And when you read that back, you really understand that, you know, Christianity is like Vaishnavism if it's done properly. And the story goes that there's one, there's a dream. This person's dreaming, and he dreams about this person who's at home with his family. And he's starting to realize there must be more to life than this. And he's a little bit of a Christian, so he starts to realize that this is this household life, this situation in this city of destruction, they call it. This is like the Puranjan story, the city of destruction. And he tries to convince his, you know, his relatives, his wife and children and some friends to, you know, come with him on pilgrimage. In other words, to start spiritual life seriously. And they just about kick him out. And so he sets off on his journey and he's going through, he comes into the pond of despond. Or the slough, what they call it, slough of despond. This means laziness. Laziness to learn. Not applying the mind. And he falls into that and he nearly drowns. And then at the last minute, you know, this helping hand comes and pulls him out. So this is what we can get into in the Bhagavatam class. You know, when we walk into the Bhagavatam class, we can be walking into the slough of despond. So we have to apply it properly. And then later on, he goes through so many tests, and then he hears some footsteps behind him, and he looks back, and there's this other person trying to catch him up. And eventually says, "Oh, I'm glad I caught you up. I was in the city of destruction and you left a few days before me, but then it started to really become very difficult for me, so I decided to take the same path as you." He says, they call this the first person, they call him Christian. And so he says, "What's your name?" He says, "My name is Faithful." He says, "Oh, I'm pleased to meet you. We'll make good companions on this pilgrimage." And so they're exchanging experiences they've had so far. And one of them, he came up, he says, I've just met one person. Oh, sorry, then they heard some more footsteps behind them. And they look back, and there's another one catching them up. Oh, another one on the pilgrimage. He says, "I'm glad I caught you up." He says, and they asked him, "What's your name?" He says, "My name is Talkative." And so they go, I wonder why he's got that name. And so then this, you know, Faithfully starts speaking to him, and he says, "We can discuss any subject matter. I'm ready to discuss anything, you know, material life, this, that, the other, you know, farming, and even religion." And so, you know, Faithful's taken in by this. Wow, this guy's really learned in everything. But he looks back and he sees that Christian is like smirking, and he's saying, "Yes, I know this guy. I know this." And so Faithful goes over and starts speaking to him. He says, "You know, he's just a bag of wind." He's saying he knows all these things. But he was in the city of destruction when we used to live there. And he used to go out and he used to be talking so many things about what he was doing. They call him Ivor. His real name was Ivor. Ivor done this, Ivor done that, Ivor done the other. So Ivor. So then he says, but really when he tries to put things into practice, he says he's exactly the opposite. He doesn't look after his family. He's an atheist, he drinks, and he's just spoiling everybody's life by his association. So they manage. So Talkative's an example of this summative learning, parrot learning. We don't actually apply it in life. And if we don't actually apply it in life, you know, we join Talkative, we just talk about it. And even if we talk Krishna consciousness to others, it doesn't have much effect on them because it's not realized. Yeah, tell a story about it can be realized actually. If we have some if we've been a little bit sincere in devotional service, still we can affect others in special circumstances. The one devotee, I think I told it last time actually. I'm sure I told this story last time. It was about the one who went on the devotee who joined the movement, and he went on his, you know, he got fed up with his first-class job. And so he left it, went with his girlfriend on the Mediterranean, trying to, you know, in the hippie days, trying to have a good time. You remember this one? Nobody remembers it. All right, we'll tell you then. And so, yeah, he had it, this person, he was actually the vice captain of a big ocean-going liner. Now, you know, you have to be pretty intelligent to be in that situation. So, you know, and that sort of job, you know, you get well rewarded. And he just got so fried, he said, I'm leaving it behind. He went with his girlfriend on the Mediterranean to all the hot spots where all the hippies went, you know, shooting whatever they were shooting. And eventually he realized that this is not where it is either. And so he came back to Southampton on the ship, got off the ship, and he starts thumbing a lift. And this van pulls up, BBT van. And they didn't know that, of course, so they both go in, and this driver, he starts speaking to them, and all the way, they're driving towards London. He says, and all the way, for about an hour, this person's, you know, lacing him with Krishna consciousness. And he's thinking, wow, this is what I've been looking for. You know, and they were talking about, you know, the principles, no illicit sex, no gambling, no meat eating, no intoxication. And then a little bit later, this driver, he says, have you got any dope? And he said, why is he asking me for dope? He's just been quoting the four regulative principles and so much of a pure way of life. And so anyway, I've got some here. And he gave him this dope, and he started smoking it. And he carried on preaching to him. But we shouldn't. This is not very. This is not a good example. But actually, this person, he drove him to the manor, and he took his rucksack in the manor. He never came out again. He joined full stop as a brahmachari, and he's still practicing Krishna consciousness. So, in other words, there are exceptions. But generally, you know, if we don't follow it ourselves, our preaching won't have much success. Prahlad Maharaj followed it. Here we've got, you know, the Supreme Lord himself. He's very potent. He's preaching. So if we want to be potent with this movement, what is it? Purity is the... We have to concentrate on our... This is the most important thing. If we're doing so many things, we're not concentrating on our spiritual development internally, then it's only a matter of time before, you know, we've got no foundation. Our foundation is on our consciousness and how to keep that consciousness. What's keeping us in the movement is our consciousness. And what's keeping the consciousness is our realization. Our thorough realization of what we actually have. So formative. But where does Krishna consciousness come in? Is it summative? Is it formative? I see it's more than that. It's revealed, isn't it? Actually, everything's revealed by Krishna, ultimately. But especially for a devotee, things are revealed to that devotee. So, revealed knowledge. There's three things This is not hard and fast, but there were three things I was considering that will help us with revealed knowledge. What's the first thing? Any ideas? Anybody come up with one aspect of revealed knowledge? Yeah?
Well, first you have to either hear it or read it before you can put it into practice and it becomes revealed.
Yeah. We may have to be qualified to do that. And so the first one I put is that... first one is actually association. Unless we get association, we can never take an interest in most things. It's by association that we become attracted to anything in this world, isn't it? Show me a man's company, I'll show you the person. So I put down that association... I'll read. Have we got a Bhagavad Gita? Have we got a Bhagavad Gita here? Satam prasangam, amaviri samvido. Bhajanti ritkana rasayanakata, tajyoshnap ap apavargavartmani, shradha ratir bhakti anukramishati. So here in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, it's explained that by Kapila to his mother, that in the association of devotees, these topics are very, in the association of pure devotees, those who are following properly, these topics about Krishna are very satisfying to the heart and to the ear. And by cultivating this hearing process, one becomes advanced on the path of devotional service. First of all, one becomes freed from our attachments. Vasudeva Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga Prayojata, Janati Asu Vairagam, Jana Chayat Ahoidakam. Jnana and Vairagya. By knowledge we get Vairagya. One becomes freed. And then it moves forward on the path of devotional service. And then actually we can perform devotional service spontaneously. And then we're actually on the safe side. Well, until that spontaneity is in the heart, the spontaneity for material attraction is still there, then, you know, in any situation we can be drawn away. So in the association of the devotees, that's the first qualification, that we hear from the right source and we get feedback from that. We were talking about formative. Another one is... Another one is attitude. What's our attitude? It says in the Nectar of Instruction that first of all we have to control the senses, control the tongue, control the mind, control our activities. Then we can focus on devotional service. And Prabhupada saying that this is all dependent on our attitude. I remember one devotee came to Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, I think I have to get married. He was Brahmachari. And he says, why, what's up? And he said, I'm thinking about sex life. And Prabhupada said, Hare Krishna! And he says, and he tried to engage him more and more in the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. But Prabhupada actually said that after that, he says, actually, it's dependent on our attitude. How much we determine, determination. There's a qualification as well from previous. There's what they call them, samskaras. But there's also, you know, if we want to achieve something, there has to be a certain attitude. And just like, you know, somebody who's in business, he's one of the most important things is to hide your profit, isn't it? So they say. You know, in China and India, it's like, how are you doing? Oh, terrible. You know what I mean? That's the first thing. Every time I speak to a businessman, they'll never say that they're doing well. Very rarely. So you have to hide your... So that's his attitude. That's, he knows I'll be safe if I keep that one. And the boxer, I mentioned the boxer last time, is that right? What's the attitude of a boxer? What does he have to... What's his attitude? Yeah, he goes in the ring, you know, the night before, he's at about... 6 pints of, you know, whatever, John Smith's or whatever, and he goes in the ring in that situation, what's going to happen? Just, when boxers come together, what do they do? They psych one another up, don't they? It's like in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, you know, it says, when my sons and the son of Dhritarashtra were assembled on the place of pilgrimage, you know, ready to fight. What did they do? You know, they played tiggy. No, they fought. So when two boxers come together in the ring, you know, they look at one another and they psych him. But they're not, that's not all that's happening. You know what's really happening? They're looking at one another's eyes and they're saying, what position are the eyes in? You know what I mean? If the eyes are in the middle or, you know, then they know that this person is actually super fit. If the eyes are going a little bit up into the top of the head, you know, this person's been on sense gratification and they've got an advantage. So even it comes down to, you know, they're intelligent. So then he trains very hard. He makes, you know, he'll do what's necessary well before the fight to make sure when he goes in that ring, he's ready. And because he has to protect this, he has to protect the chin. His attitude is to protect this. So similarly, you know, when we wake up in the morning, whatever time it may be. You know, then there's Maya waiting, just looking to the eyes. What's this one like today? And if we're actually performing properly, then very easily we can overcome Maya's test. Otherwise, Maya just strokes the top of the eyes again, and we're away. Another hour. So, attitude. Satatam. Tetyam satata yuktanam bhajatam pridipurvakam dadadi bhuryogam tam yena mamupayantite. Does everybody know this verse? This is a really good verse, we should learn it. This is the seed verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. To those who are dedicated to constantly serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So even, and Prabhupada writes in the purport that even if we have the advantage of a spiritual master, and we don't take advantage of it for some reason. If we have the books, and we don't take advantage of it for some reason. He says, if the attitude is correct, if we're still trying to positive about serving Krishna, and we're trying to do the right things, then Krishna can make up the difference. Ananyasyantyantamam, yeganaha pariyopasate, tesham nitya vyuktanam, yogakshemam vahamyam. To those who are dedicated to serving with exclusive devotion, then I carry what they like and I preserve what they have. So attitude is very, very important. And the last one is performing devotional service. The performance of devotional service itself. Kechit kevalaya bhakta vasudeva prana agam dunsvatni karsnya nirham eva bhaskara. Only a rare person who performs devotional service properly can uproot the weeds of material desires, those things which are stopping us from going forward. If he renders devotional service, nothing else can do that. He says it's just like the sun when it comes up in the morning. The first thing to go is the mist. He says as soon as we perform some sincere devotional service, then the inertias start to be dissipated immediately. And we not just dissipated, but uprooted. Anything else just doesn't uproot the anartas. They come back again. Have you noticed? So we think we've got, you know, an anarta comes. Remember me? And we have to deal with it in a certain situation. And then we think maybe we've got over this. And then, you know, somewhere down the line, there it comes again. And another situation. I mean, it's still there in the heart. So this hearing process purifies the heart. It says there in the, what's that verse? In 1:2:17. Srinvatam svakata krishna punya shravana kirtana ridant saksto hibadrani vidunati saritsatam. And Prabhupada writes, he says, the seriously inquisitive devotee can realize the absolute truth by rendering devotional service. Because Krishna sees the sincerity and purifies his heart. And when Krishna purifies the heart, even though there may be this attachment, with very strong attachment to the opposite sex, says that the devotee becomes completely peaceful if he carries on hearing. All disturbances will go far away. So we have to be convinced. The point about this class is that Lord Chaitanya, at the very beginning, you know, Prahlad Maharaj at the very beginning, they're stressing this hearing process. And so hearing means not just hearing externally, but hearing and understanding. This is formative. And then not just understanding, but applying. And when Krishna sees the sincerity of applying the, then he'll help us to overcome the particular obstacles on our path. So what's the test of somebody who's gained knowledge? What's the real test? Hey? Are they applying it? Yeah. What did you say? Application. So that's part of the not learning process. By the application, we get realization. But what would you say? What would you look for in a person who's actually understood? Humility. All the great devotees in our line, you know, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote this Chaitanya Charitamrita, and how does he pray? You know, he goes to everybody and puts the feet on his head, you know, and he prays for the blessings of everybody. And he caps it all by saying, I'm just like a worm in stool. And it's not like he's just saying it so that people will think he's humble. He actually means it. Why does he mean it? Because he understands the reality of the situation. What's our situation? You know, we're relatively insignificant compared to the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as Krishna starts to reveal his real magnanimity, is it? His real opulence of mercy and his real nature, then the devotee just melts under that influence. This is describing the Madhurika Kadambini. So then he realizes, what do I have to be proud of? So this is what real knowledge brings, humility. And the result of real knowledge is that bhakti is sown in the heart. When there's humility there, it means it's like the soil. They call it humus. In Latin, humus is the name for humility, or the name for soil also. So when you plant the seed in humus, it's very fertile soil. And we water it nicely by whatever process we need. Then a very nice plant will grow. And we have to fence that plant round with suitable things so it's not broken. And so, similarly in devotional service, we plant the seed of the bhakti. It flourishes in humility, in humus. If it's watered very nice by hearing and chanting, the bhakti becomes very, very strong. And it has to be guarded against anything which is going to, you know, upset our humility or spoil our consciousness. So this is what Lord Chaitanya is speaking in Chaitanya Charitamrita to Sanatana Goswami. Because Sanatana Goswami, he was just so humble. You know, you've got Hiranyakashipu at the opposite end of the scale. He was actually a learned scholar. He understood the Vedas. He understood about self-realization. When his brother Hiranyaksha was killed, you know, his Rishabhanu, his daughter-in-law, and his mother, they were both crying. And so Hiranyakashipu, he went to them and he preached to them about they weren't the body, about transmigration of the soul. He knew everything very nice. And he was so potent that they actually understood the situation and they gave over lamenting. And then as soon as he'd said that, he said, right, how can we get Vishnu back now? So it's still superficial. But on the other hand, Sanatana Goswami, full of real humility, I'm full of all good qualities, I'm full of all potencies, but yet, you know, I don't think he's even so humble that he's not prepared to walk in front of the Jagannath Puri gates to the temple because he's frightened of contaminating the Brahmins who go in there and are worshipping Lord Jagannath. And when Lord Chaitanya heard that, he says, why are your feet so blistered? Which way did you come to see me? So he came on the beach. He says, the beach is boiling hot at this time of the day. Your feet are blistered. Why didn't you come by the front of the Jagannath gates? And he told him, and Lord Chaitanya was overwhelmed with ecstasy, he says, you are the emblem of Vaishnava etiquette. So this is what we're looking for in devotional service. It's called a change of heart, a change of not wanting to be the enjoyer or in any situation or controller in any situation, but wanting to be a sincere servant of the devotees in whatever situation we're in. And then Krishna can make us an instrument, nimitta matram. Then we can do so much for this movement. Because when we have that quality of humility, we're safeguarded from becoming proud. And whatever Krishna gives us, it won't become an obstacle. When we're usually given some opulence, we become proud. But when we have this deep-rooted humility, then we can use things in Krishna's service, and he can use his devotees in so many ways to spread this movement. I was going to talk, there's 5 minutes left. So we can have questions there if you want.